CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab. My name is Liz Ogumbo Regisford, your host, and on today's show we are bringing you a once a month designer exclusive with a very special guest joining us in studio today, who goes by the name of Orapeleng Modutle. Now, we're joined on the show by Morag Stein, who's an internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist who has acquired experience in the beauty game for over 10 years. For those of you who know, we get some really cool tips from her, and she's here with us at the, in the show. Welcome, and thank you for coming and looking so colorful. I know it's hot,
thank
and
you.
I know the sun's out.
Thank
but
you.
Wow. What's the look and what's inspiring?
So I'm just wearing this super crazy print little dress from Zara. It's one of my favorite pieces. It's just really, it's like a t-shirt dress, throw over, go. I mean, here in Johannesburg today, it's like 40 degrees Celsius. I think we're all melting. It's crazy. And then on the way, Liz, I stopped in your showroom and got a beautiful rope twisted neck piece.
Fantastic.
It's absolutely fantastic.
I love it. It's complimenting the look. Really nice. Welcome to the show, Morag.
Thank you.
Now, we are also joined on the show by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with his Echoes from New York. Edgy runs NU in New York, which is a fashion services company based in New York. And they specialize in sourcing services to fashion designers, fashion houses, etc. Welcome to the show, Edgy.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
And what are you wearing? Because you know you're not going to be sliding on that. What you're wearing and what's inspiring the look is what we want to know right here.
Well, my look is inspired by my temperature, which is 44 degrees, very cold. So, I have a warm, very thick, high-collar sweater on me and a pair of jeans.
It's very nice. Welcome to the show. We love to have you as well. And for those who are tuned in for the first time, just a quick reminder, I've got my favorite segment at the end of the show called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us some of your who's, some of your whys, because it is the what we call our red glass of wine at the end of the show. It's kind of where we unwind. Don't ask me how. Nederberg, if you're listening. Anyway, if you're tuning in to the first for the first time as well, or if you also have input around the business behind fashion, especially in Africa, and would love to share your thoughts, please email us at info@fashionlabafrica.com. Keep your tweets coming at FashionLabAF and share with us your thoughts as we engage deeper into the Orapeleng Modutle Style Avenue situation here at Fashion Lab. We are Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. And without taking any more time, allow me to introduce to the show our special guest. The brand is a selective celebration of inspirational designs and artistic garments that bring beauty, grace, and elegance into our lives. Now, with the brand's aim, the brand's main aim is to present African crafted fashion and creative talent in a manner that actually makes local talent globally recognized. They want to ensure the world has a market access to African inspired product with a modern contemporary trend and design. We are hanging out with Orapeleng Modutle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys?
Fine, thank you. Was that a good intro?
Yeah. Very, very good. Anyway, thank you very much for having me.
And what are you wearing? What's inspiring the look before we get
deep? I just wear just a typical jean shirt and sandals. Yeah, because it's very hot.
Everyone is complaining. You know, the problem with us is we always complain. When it's hot, it's too hot. When it's not so hot, it's not so hot.
Yeah.
It should be something else. When it's cold, it's too cold. When it's raining, why is it raining? So I think we'll just move on.
What are you wearing today?
Well, I'm wearing this beautiful little dress that I got about a year ago. We went shopping with Morag somewhere. And we won't tell you where, but we went shopping and splurged, and I got this beautiful it's got a beautiful, not really monochromatic, but still gives me that sort of black and white texture that I like when it comes to my colors and my prints. So it kind of feels like I really feel good. It's a very simple cotton lycra piece. It's like I said, it's so hot. I'm not complaining about the heat. I'm just saying it's so hot here, Edgy, that you need something that, you know, you need to feel the wind and the breeze.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of...
I would pay to be where you guys are.
I literally was like, if I could really just leave the house with something less than this, I would have. But I want to also be correct out here, you know? And I know, trouble no go find me. That's what I don't want to get into. So I stay away from trouble. Yes. But anyway, I'm happy to have you all on the show today. And like, I love this designer exclusives. Again, for those who are tuned in for the first time, this designer exclusives, as I was explaining to our Rappeleng earlier, is sometimes when you speak about your brand as a brand, you don't really get enough airtime to really get people to get down and dirty. You know, you don't even get a chance. All you can do is quickly, hi, what happened? Let's talk about the bridal collection. Oh, it was this. Okay, cool. Fantastic.
So
this is really an opportunity to really get our listeners to actually engage on a deeper level when it comes to who your brand is, you know, the sort of ethos and values that you share through your brand, the journey itself, where you started, where you're going, all the little extra detail that they never get, to really give them a better understanding holistically of this brand. Now, first of all, I just want to say congratulations on your latest bridal collection.
Thank you very much.
I felt so much flair. There was so much elegance with the easy flows. There was the low-cut lines, low-cut necklines. There was a lot of ruffled high-riding skirts and sleeves, the midriffs, the sensual shoulder, I call them peekaboos, shoulder peekaboos.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of halters, fringes, shears in general, but it was a very, to me, elegant, effortless, easy collection. Before we go deep into the brand, let's talk about the collection, the bridal 2016.
The collection was spring-summer 2016 for the AFI. So the whole inspiration behind the brand of the whole resort bridal collection, for the whole destination wedding, for destination bride. So we designed everything that kind of goes along with the destination, the place that the bride is getting married at. So like, everything was very flowy, very summer colors. So we designed for the whole bridal party, attendees, mother of the bride and the bride.
Even attendees.
Yeah.
People are really taking bridal to a whole new level, where you'll be receiving an invite and be told, listen, you're going to be pulling out your piece out of Orapeleng's collection from his 2015 spring summer, and it has to be within that range. I mean, these are rules. The rules are getting so hard. I might just not want to go for weddings anymore.
The demand is quite hectic. People who go to weddings, who are invited for weddings, they take such a lot of effort in looking good. So they spend a lot of money and a lot of effort and a lot of things put into how they want to look for the wedding. So you could be quite surprised about that.
But do brides are no longer scared of like outdoing, getting outdone? Because you know how like long
they
time,
are
I remember
terrified.
Weddings. Yeah. I would get weddings where you're invited and people would just look at me like, my friends would be like, Liz, do not come in there looking like Naomi. Just please tone it down. And I'm thinking, what happened to just self-expression and like going to enjoy? Because the truth of the matter is, when we go into weddings, I'm sure we're not malicious people. We go in with a good intention, but then you still want to be looking in the best way that you can. Do you get a lot of that with this whole bridal situation where you've got to?
You do. When I started really like growing my bridal business, like, I deal with a whole lot of people who... insecure brides, because or you find a sister who wants to look better than the bride, or
all
a sister-in-law,
all the time.
Now a situation with a bride that I'm waiting, and I'm doing for November. I can't name names, obviously.
Yeah.
But she has a sister-in-law who was supposed to be the matron of honor. So they had a specific design that I designed for some girl at a matric dance last year. So it has a high slit. So I'm like, no way, guys. You can't sit next to the bride
looking like that.
I'm like, can you just tone it down? So they're fighting. So there's a whole lot of drama when it comes to who wears what at whose wedding. Yeah.
I mean, it's even in the makeup industry, makeup and hair industry. I've had bridesmaids telling me like, hey, please, can you make me look better than the bride? And I'm just like, you're sick. Yes. Like, no.
What is wrong with people?
You get people like, they're crazy. And, you know, I think it's such a fantastic idea that you're creating sort of collections for attendees, mm-hmm. because I attended a wedding this past weekend. And let me tell you, so on the invite it says, sneakers can be worn. And then I think, oh, God. So I phoned Liz and I think, Liz, what am I going to do?
Wear, yeah.
Like, listen, I have a huge sneaker collection, but there's no ways I'm going to be wearing one to a wedding, you know? So anyway, there I go with my beautiful couture floral jumpsuit, and there were men dressed in suits wearing, like, sneakers. And I'm just like, no, guys, come on.
But I think sneakers should not be. No. And don't put that on the wedding invite. No. Come on.
And
are
you know,
serious?
The other thing is, then there was a lady wearing jeans.
What? Because, but guess what? I'm not mad at her. No. The minute you put sneakers, you should let people walk in their baseball caps and in their sneakers and their jeans and shorts.
It's so confusing because then what do you actually wear? You know what I mean? So I think it's fantastic. I mean, I've been to weddings where all the guests on the invite, it actually said that all the guests have to be dressed in black. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the photos looked amazing because the bride stands out, the whole bridal party
stands
out. That's
the whole idea,
It's so sophisticated. It's beautiful.
But you know, for me, what I say is color coding is one thing. Because the crazy women who still want to outdo the bride will still say, listen, okay, fine, I'm keeping it black. If your slit is up to your thigh, I'm up to your hip, then I'm like, please, no.
And very backless.
Because at the end of the day...
And still take a picture with the bride.
Yes, and the color code does not restrict what style of dress. But I still think, like, come on, ladies, use your heads. I mean, wait for your own husband now. Edgy, is it different for you since you attended the last wedding out there? Why are these women trying to like put on their hip slits at the girl's wedding? Can you just keep that for the something else?
I mean, it's still a spectacle. Weddings, essentially, they are.
Okay.
You know what, guys? Because we need to. Because we need to focus. I'm gonna let Edge's comment slide for now, and come back to Rappelang, and just quickly talk about what sort of inspired that collection. It was a very easy, but still sophisticated, elegant. There's some flair there.
So we just basically wanted to design for those who want
resort.
To. Look better than the bride, so we had to give him a few restrictions. So,
And did they adhere to that?
Well, they want to choose the bridal outfit.
This girl.
Because I mean, everything was very alternative bridal. A lot of crop tops. Because we did a show on Saturday that was sponsored by Stearns, the whole bridal show. So I kind of continued with the whole resort because I did a crop top with beaded tassels and a long. Tailed skirt because I feel like not that I'm trying to offend anyone, but I feel like we are tired of those
bridles.
Yeah,
we are tired, everyone. Africa, if you're listening, everyone, if you want to bash us, we are tired.
Tired. You know,
change the story.
I get to a wedding and I mean, I obviously do the hair and makeup, and I just think, oh, another white ball gown.
Yeah.
So listen, back to you now. How long have you been in business, Rappelang, and what are some of your working formulas in this not so easy to keep up with game?
We've been in the business for 3 years.
30 years?
3 years.
Okay. I was like,
so since 2013.
Okay.
And we've been working in a very small garage ever since. And it's just really, the business started growing when I started dressing celebrities then and there, and then doing more shoots, and I applied for AFI for like 5 years, and eventually now I got, before I was actually in trading, so I wanted to do the whole fast track thing, and then didn't work, and then eventually I started applying, and then I got through this year.
But can I also ask you a question as a designer and as design people sitting in the room as well and speaking? Do you feel also that some of these platforms could be overrated in the sense that, and I say this with due respect, is as a designer who's coming up as a creative, you still have to be so strong enough in belief of what you're working on or what you're building to a point where you refuse to let any platform or anything validate it, because accept your sales and your movement forward. So for me, one of the things that, I mean, and especially for listeners who are tuned in, maybe those of you who are in the fashion industry, I think my two cents is to be able to just hone your craft, believe in it, work on it, and then move. And don't think that the end of the world is AFI or is what? Because at the end of the day, fashion business is fashion business. How you grow, how you move, whether you're in that platform or not, there's a thousand other ways to be able to push the brand ahead. What is your advice to people who are maybe still coming up and feeling that whole pressure that you may have felt of I want to get here, I want to get there? What's your feedback?
Like for me, what advice I would give people is that, well, these platforms are great and they give a lot of exposure to your brand. That's exactly what you need. But they're not entirely the only route to go. Because I have been in business for 3 years. And before AFI, I was generating a whole lot of money. And I employed 5 people before AFI. So we don't really need it. So if your craft is good, and if you know who are you targeting, and if you know who is your clientele, and if your quality is impeccable, and if your service is great, that's all people need. Mm-hmm. They don't really need that you, this big person who showcases and dresses the best celebrities. They just need the best service and the best quality ever. That's all clients need. You don't need to, yeah.
And Edgy, I just want to pick your mind a bit on that. What are you feeling like? Because obviously there's a lot of pressure, especially in the continent, where sometimes also from a consumer perspective, consumer behavior says, are you a designer? Yeah. Where have you shown? Because that's also for them, it's kind of like something they attach to what they think is the right designer or the big name, you know? What are your thoughts on how young designers, especially in the continent, should continue to move up without, I don't know, the pressure of just having to be affiliated, of having had shown, should not be something that then kind of puts you down or blocks your vision or like slows you down? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, when you listen to Rafaelin, you can see that although he hadn't attended AFI yet, he was already experiencing growth. But he did say something very important. He said he started dressing celebrities, and then he had photo shoots, and that helped him grow the brand. You know, it generated publicity for him. So I think for designers listening, I think it's important to see that, yes, the platforms are great, social media is great. But I think in Africa, here in the U.S., there's a lot of celebrity endorsements that helps the product. In Africa, I think we have to do a lot more of that, where you're tying designers to certain celebrities. I mean, not tying them by force, but allowing, kind of offering clothes to celebrities to wear, because it helps a lot to grow a line. And also, imagery is fantastic. I mean, imagery is a huge part of growing a brand, because fashion is a showcase, fashion is fantasy, images create this fantasy. So I think that once a designer can work with a good photographer, and that's something for another conversation maybe. I think we need to grow fashion photography in Africa. Mm-hmm. But I think that helps a lot, you know, just creating the right images can push a brand, and also can make the brand even attractive to the to the platforms, you know, to AFI, to all this, because when they see the images and they like the work, then they might say, oh, we should have this designer on our runway, you know? So yeah, I think there are ways to grow, but celebrity ties and the right photography are important.
You know, I want to just throw this back to Orapa Leng based on that comment around celebrity ties, and then I will share my sentiments. But Orapa Leng, when you dress those personalities that you dress, I'll use that word. That's the word I'll use. When you dress those, I was thinking, should I use celebrity or personality? I was like, let me use
the personalities. Yeah.
Those personalities that you're dressing, do you feel based on the couple of personalities you've been able to dress that you've actually got back value based on the fact that you dressed them, just generally and openly and honestly?
100%. I have started dressing Bokang, and at the time she's not really a celebrity. She's a businesswoman. She used to be in South Africa and all of that. But what I received from dressing her has kind of, you get a client then there, people who follow her, and you get a lot of people say, oh, that dress is nice, Bonang was wearing.
No, I'm talking about smiling to the bank, the niceties we are happy with.
Yeah. When people appreciate it, that's when they come back to the designer and say, we want that particular thing. That
so they don't come to you saying, hi, can you also give it to me?
No. People, they expect to buy from you. That's what I've got from dressing celebrities. It has really, because there's a lot of people who look up to these girls, and there's a whole lot of people who want to wear the same things they do. So if they can afford it, then they come and purchase. So I would say revenue-wise, yes.
So now I want to come back to my observations. Rafaelong is laughing. My honest, true observations in the continent is I do not believe in celebrity endorsements in the continent. I think if you're a celebrity or personality, whatever you call yourself, I think the celebrities should buy their stuff. And I say this with due respect. And I'll say to you this. So from my experience as a fashion entrepreneur as well, or fashion designer, whatever you want to call me, in this business, especially in the continent, for me and my business, if I dress a personality, they look beautiful. Trust me, there's no question about OMG. There's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But because of the fact that I've also always said that we have to graduate and we have to keep moving up, meaning that after the oh wow and OMGs, I can't be doing that for 4 years with OMGs and nothing and no smiles to the bank. So because for me, my bottom line at the end of the day is this is a business like any other business and you have to be able to win. It means that the people that you choose, in fact, I've realized that it doesn't even have to be, that's why I say personalities. It doesn't have to be the biggest name in the continent. I've found that sometimes dressing a simple career woman who's one of my clients, she goes to work looking stunning in one of my pieces and she buys the piece. But guess what? Yeah. I can get 5 clients out of her job or out of her business or industry or of in her wherever, food whatever space. She does, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can get 5 who will come and they come with the same attitude. How much is it? What? When I dress personalities, I've realized it just doesn't work. Because the dress comes back, first of all, it's probably got some sweat patches or it's probably ripped or the second fell off or whatever. So for me, my truth, and that's my truth, everyone have their truth, is business is business. Fashion is a business. If you have personalities who you're dressing as brands, it would be great to be able to find a way that if you have realized you've been dressing them for a certain period of time and you don't get returns, none of their referrals ever come to you and say, you know, this was, I really liked her dress and she referred me here. Then you're wasting your time. Stop doing it. Mm-hmm. The attitude when it comes to consumer behavior in the US is very different from here. The fact that Rihanna can wear that Orapeleng crop top on stage and be able to find a way where in 24 hours, for some reason, Orapeleng has sold out 1,000. Mm-hmm. That is a reality, but it's not a reality in Africa. It really is not.
Okay.
So I'm just saying So all I'm saying is, all I'm advising brands is to pay attention to who you have wearing your stuff, if they didn't pay for it, and then be able to reassess and say within a certain period of time, and you have to be reasonable. So within like, say, you can do a 6-month or whatever, a year, give them real time. And say within that year, I've been dressing Sheila. What have I got out of it? It's a truth, and it's for your own business and for your own way forward. However, if you have extra clothes and you just want to dress Sheila every year, then, you know, it's good for you.
You know, what I just want to add on is, are there certain personalities that you dress? For instance, so if you're dressing Mrs. X and she is bringing you revenue back and Mrs. A comes to you, but she's maybe not an inspirational woman in the industry or she's done certain things to affect her brand, mm-hmm. would you still dress her?
Like, what is this?
Do you know what I'm saying? Because, okay, so let me put it to you this way. So there's a lot of personalities who approach me. Can you do my makeup for free or my hair for free? I'll put it onto social media. And then I'm like, okay, who is this person? I'm not saying in an ugly way, but I'm like, okay, what has this person done for society? What is she doing in her business, in her industry? How is that something I want to relate or connect my brand to? Mm. If not, then I won't do it. Irrespective of who she is. So that's what I'm asking. Are there people who you turn down because of certain situations in the media, or would, if any personality had to approach you, would you dress them?
I would say it really depends on the personality and what kind of brand they have. Because, I mean, I would I would prefer to dress people who go along with the brand.
So meaning they share similar values, similar morals.
Yes.
They're in a space in their life where you can say, yes, I'm associated with that proudly.
Yeah, because, I mean, it also depends on the kind of woman I'm dressing.
Yes.
So if the kind of woman I'm dressing is ideal to the kind of personality that I want, like they're requesting for stuff, then I'll gladly say yes.
So despite their values and morals, you'll just be like, yeah, you're...
No, I mean, there's a few reservations where in terms of you feel like...
The Wahala maybe, girls. When those someone, Wahala girls, you look at them and you say, tell them I'm not in today. I'm unavailable.
I think we are missing a point though. I think we are missing a point. Okay. Yes, you guys have, I mean, Liz is right. Everybody's right about it. But you have to understand, celebrity endorsements were before Facebook, before social media. They are social media in a sense, you know? They are really the beginnings of social media. And you have to do it not because it makes you money, but because it spreads your name out. And then the residual benefits of your name being spread out is eventually money at the end of the road, you know?
Absolutely.
So I have a question. Now I'm going to just put the thing, put my finger up and say, hi, I have a question. As you just to put a pause on that. Celebrity endorsement, sometimes you get to a point where you've got a beautiful photo shoot campaign, which is getting you proper hits. You've got your stories, you've got your short fashion film, you've got this, you've got that. And then Wahala girl, now you want to also throw the dress because she keeps asking for dresses. So you're like, okay, fine, take that. We still have to look and reassess and say, edgy, you want to say it's okay, you don't have to smile to the bank. I'm like, I'm sorry. If I'm dressing Mrs. X or Mrs. C, and for a whole year, I have not got one reference that said, even if it's someone random who says, I really love what Morag was wearing, do you guys have that in my size? That for me is incentive. And we're in a business. So we're already showing at Fashion Weeks. So we're already doing so much. There's so much visibility in different ways. So I'm just saying to you that I think we have to be very careful. Location affects, okay, so obviously demographics, location. What's happening in Nairobi may not be happening the same way in Ghana, in Accra, and may not be happening the same way in Johannesburg. I'll tell you what, right now, one thing I know for sure is the difference between Nairobi and here for me is even what the big personalities who would say they're big personalities would still come and ask me how much a dress. The conversation would start at how much is the dress, not can you sponsor me? What am I sponsoring you for? Do you know what a sponsor is and for what? Where is my ROI? Show me what you're giving me back. So I'm just saying, Edgy, that I'm not right. This is just my opinion. We all have different opinions. However, I also say that because we are driving the business behind fashion, some of these sort of conversations have to be had. And some of the brands who are giving a lot of charity, because I know, you know, there's a lot going on, also need to, unless they have extra, which is fine, I just know that I can't afford to dress 10 people in a year and dress them all throughout the year. And I do my best and I put a lot. It actually is a whole business on its own. Okay. So at the end of the day, with all of that I invest in, if you've got 20 likes or 100 likes, I'm just like, please, that's enough likes now. We already have those likes. So that's not enough. What's 100 likes is not enough. Hi, Liz, I like the skirt is the beginning of where we're going to enough. But I want to flip this back to Orapeleng because he's our designer in studio today. And even though we're having these conversations and sharing our different mindsets and where and why we feel things are working the way they are, some things are working for certain brands, some things are not. So it's interesting to continue the conversation. I'm going to throw it back to Orapeleng because obviously Orapeleng is happy to, for you, basically what you're saying
it works
for you. And that's, and that's the bottom line. Mm. And you're just lucky. Maybe you just don't have a lot of Wahala girls in your circle.
I just want to really add on. It really depends on the type of what you believe in and how do you think your brands work better for you. So if celebrities don't work for you, there's other ways. If you feel like dressing a corporate woman at the corporate place, that brings you more business. Like if you want to target the corporate world, because those are the people who are sitting with a lot of money. So if that's how you feel that works for you, then yeah. And if you say, you know, my business works better if I dress the Wawa girls or whoever they are, because they bring me more Wawa, and that's where I get my. Do you understand what I mean? So I would make an example. There's a dress that we've done at the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, and it was worn two days later by a celebrity, which is Bonang at the cover of Glam Africa. We got store orders. Just because of she wore it and tagged us, we got, I don't know how many orders of that same dress. Really, it was reached in large quantity, where we even have grown, like we have developed a new business development where we now once a month going to be visiting different cities and sell the dress.
Yeah. So I think that's beautiful and very commendable. But I still also think that when you mention like Bonang obviously is very, I think she's also, it's also about the personality you're working with. And I think that there's certain people who just have this thing where whatever they touch, people want to touch. And not just touch to say, wow, touch to like, I want it, we are buying it. So we are now talking business. So I think that, like you said, the bottom line is maybe to also have like you said, people just, brands need to choose, and designers need to just look around and choose carefully who is going to be their representative or who's going to be the ambassador, and also give it time and reassess it. It's just, magic is not going to happen for everyone in the same way. And like you said, that one works for you and it has done good for you.
Yeah.
It may not work
I have a word.
Yes.
I think I want to kind of really reemphasize the power of celebrity endorsements in Africa. I think we don't pursue it enough. Yes, it has its drawbacks, but it's a big way to sell clothes. It's a big way to have people see the clothes in motion and to fantasize about the clothes. I mean, like, let's take Liz, for instance. I don't think that if she was wearing anything, there isn't anybody that wouldn't fantasize about it, you know? So, but that's the power.
Fantasizing is one thing, Uncle. Fantasizing is one thing. Where's the money? Money no day.
No, but that's the root of you trying to find the money to buy it, though, when you fantasize about it. Yes. Or, I mean, just to have the aspiration to have it. Aspiration alone, for a designer to be a part of someone's aspiration, that's a huge thing. Even though they can't afford it, but for me to aspire to wear your clothes, you may never know, but it's big. I'll tell my friends about it, you know?
And then what will your friends do?
My friends might be richer than me, and they'll buy.
Okay, Edgy, we give it up to you, and we agree, and we accept your point. And I think that that was a very serious conversation to have that people are not having. And I feel like sometimes brands just get frustrated and they make noise. Ah, whoever is wearing my, she's not selling. You need to talk to these people. Like me, these days when people come, I say, "How much do you have?" That's my first question. Before you tell me who you are, how much do you have? And if they're like, oh, well, we don't know. I say, okay, sorry, we can't talk. Because my thing is, even from a power perspective, from a business perspective, if Maura comes to me and she knows the value of my pieces, even if I'm sponsoring her, she knows the value. And that's a very important point. You're not in a market. This is not Osu Market. Anyway, Africa, if you're listening, Abby, just send your tweets. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. I want to go back to Orapeleng. I say also, Orapeleng, as much as the fashion showcasing space, like your AFI show that just happened, it's a great platform for PR, for visibility. But what are some of the other channels besides Fashion Week are you using to actually spread your word out or get your pieces into these consumer wardrobes? So obviously, you know, you've got Fashion Week, you've got what you just mentioned right now, like that cover that just brought you so much business.
Yeah.
What are some of the other ways that you're winning?
I think word of mouth. It's really one of the biggest, because if you give people the best service and quality, they recommend you to their close ones because they already believe in the brand because you've already offered them the service.
It's very impressive. Do you sell locally? Do you have boutiques? Do you have your own shop? Or are you just selling into different boutiques?
I have a studio. So everything now is really made to order.
Okay.
So we haven't really started going because I don't think I'm into that whole selling into someone else's boutique. No.
Do you want to open another?
No. I feel like I rather work hard and have and establish a clientele, and then have my own flagship store where people can walk in because people already know the brand. That's just my sentiment. Okay. I don't want us to open another.
No, we are not going. We are loving what you're saying, and we respect your decision and the way that you're running your business. And obviously, we're having this conversation here with you because we think we love your work, and it's nice for those who are actually looking at you to also acquire some sort of ways of how, some tips and tricks of how maybe they could also run their businesses to the level that you are and beyond. Now, you produce locally, right?
Yeah.
How many, what type of setup do you have? Do you have a workshop or do you outsource to CMTs?
No, I have a studio. So we have a team of six ladies, seamstresses, cutters, and bead workers. So yeah,
so everything happens in front
everything
of your
face. Everything happens. We don't source out yet.
It's very nice. Now tell me, what is your signature identity offering, the offering that really sets you apart or sets that OM Style Avenue brand apart from others? Because obviously you've got your clientele, they keep coming back to you for a reason. What do you think would be that signature touch to what you do?
I think a lot of femininity, sexy, romantic. That's really what we keep focus on. So, I mean, we just want to make a woman look absolutely beautiful. So everything to enhance their natural attributes, that's exactly what we do. I think that's what makes the brand.
Mm. And like Morag was also saying when we were speaking about values and morals, what are your brand values or morals? What are some of the things you, as a brand, you work on or work with? Some of your ethos, what is it that the brand represents? So I know that one of the things, obviously, is you said you produce locally, you've got your workers there, obviously you're creating employment, which is very, to me, a big deal when it comes to brands and African brands who are trying to grow, but also trying to help sort of develop this industry. You cannot develop it by sending all your things away and your toys away, but that's very commendable. So what are some of the values that you fly on or you drive on?
I mean, like saying, creating jobs and also producing locally, like you've said, just keeping on doing what makes me happy and what makes everyone else happy. For me, it's like a good working environment and always learning how to have a good relationship with every client.
Mm, so respect.
Yeah, very respect. I mean, no matter what client it is, the minute you sign and say, yes, we're doing this, so we have to keep a fruitful relationship. Yes, we are human beings. You come to things where you know, you don't really, but yeah, that's what we work on. I don't know if that answered the question.
Mm, yeah, it's cool. It's very nice. Now, where can we expect to see your brand moving to? Because obviously, moving is a part of the business, right?
Yeah. So I would love to have a flagship store. But obviously not yet, but I have gotten a response. I don't think I'm allowed to say it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So you don't want to kiss and tell. You know what? You could also share with our listeners where they can connect with you. So either your website, some social media handles, and that way we can also keep
check
up.
What's happening. So I'm on Instagram, of course, which is Orapeleng Modutle, and I am on Facebook, which is Orapeleng Modutle Style Avenue. And I am on Twitter, which is Timmy_Modutle. So we also have a website, which is www.orapelemodutle.co.za, and people can contact us info@orapelemodutle.co.za. I think one thing that I can say is that I'm doing Cape Town Fashion Week, so I'm really wanting to grow on that part of the
world,
country. Yeah.
Of the country. I love Cape Town. Anyway, you know what I want to do is just quickly steer up this thing, roll over to Morag Stein, who's going to be glamming up this session, because we need a glam up at this point. Glam up this session, Maura. Come with us, mummy.
Thank you so much. So I've actually posted a picture on social media, and for some reason, I mean, it's the simplest lipstick color that I have in my collection, but everyone's just raving about it. So I'm going to reveal the color, and it's number 15, and it's from the Ultimate Shine range from Catrice Cosmetics. And I don't know about everyone else, but I'm literally melting. Like, I feel like an ice cream cone that has like fallen over and just splattered over the floor. So, you know, lipsticks that you want to be wearing in this heat is obviously a matte texture because it doesn't move in the heat, or something that's very sheer and creamy on the lips. So something like a balm with a tint in, or obviously a very creamy lipstick, that will just keep your lips hydrated as well. So, and then, of course, you know, with the heat going on, I've got a few questions, you know, what am I talking about today, et cetera. So I'm literally had to change my whole makeup regime this past week because what I normally used is just not working in the heat. So I need to spice it up a bit. So for all the women out there, you know, start with a proper base. You're not going to paint a face brick wall straight away. So what you need to do is really moisturize your skin. Using an oil-free moisturizer in the morning is great. I'm using the Thatcham Luminous Deep Hydration Serum. It contains hyaluronic acid and red algae. It's really deeply hydrating. Remember that even though our skins are oily and they're producing more sebum, you cannot strip your skin from sebum because then it's going to be producing more sebum. So be careful of using too anti-oily, you know, too many of these anti-oiling, anti-sebum products because it actually just creates more sebum on your skin. So you want to keep your skin hydrated even though it feels like it's melting off, you know. And then, of course, investing in a good primer. You won't regret the few seconds that it takes to just pop on a primer. If a primer is something that is not for you, a really nice one is the Primer Hydrating Mist from Smashbox, which you literally just spritz on your skin. It's really amazing, you know, and it's, I mean, of course, it's water-based. So any water-based product basically acts as a magnet for foundation to your skin. And also bronze your skin. So even if you don't want to do a foundation in the heat, just by bronzing the higher planes of your skin can really just give you that coverage that you need. And obviously using a powder. Also be careful of using powders, though, because we're sweating underneath the powders. So if you're applying a powder on top of a powder on top of a powder, it's going to start separating, basically. So instead of using a powder foundation, rather use a nice creamy foundation or a liquid foundation because that's obviously going to, you know, hold and be a magnet to your skin. So,
Just a question. Would you advise women to just stay away from the foundation? What's the problem? It's hot.
It's so hot.
It's so hot. Why are we like masking up? Morag, it's your question, genuinely.
You know what? It's really a personal preference. For me, you know, I was shooting for the past 2 days outside of Johannesburg and it was over 40 degrees Celsius and I literally could not wear any makeup. It was ridiculous. But then again, like, I can't go everywhere not wearing makeup, you know? So, like, people will be like, what? She's a makeup artist, but she's not wearing makeup. Like, it makes no sense. You know, it's like being a fashion designer
and
walking in your pajamas.
You still look good.
You know, so the foundations that you can use in heat are the Bobbi Brown Stick Foundation. It's fantastic. It's waterproof, sweat-resistant. The Smashbox Studio Skin, which has a 15-hour wear. And Makeup Forever, the Matte Velvet Foundation, and also the MAC Waterproof Foundation, which is just newly launched in Africa. So that's amazing. Once again, waterproof products are blocking your pores. So it's not an everyday, it's really just for this hot period that I would advise it. And also blot. Don't use powders. Of course, I've just said that they do separate. So things like Essence, Catrice, and MAC Cosmetics actually have blotting sheets that you can really just carry around in your handbag and literally blot the shine off your face instead of applying powder. If you need a quick fix, you know, like the sandwich wax wrap paper that you wrap sandwiches in, that it's basically the same thing. So you can literally just walk around with that and blot your face as well. And they also, these blot sheets, it sounds
you
crazy.
For real?
I am for real.
So you can just go cut it up into small
into
cubes.
Small squares, pop it in like a little purse in your handbag. For real. And also the amazing thing, because of the waxy texture, it actually doesn't remove your makeup. So it really just takes off that excess oil or sebum that you have. Also, with eye makeup, so a little saying that I learned was, it was CYA, so CYA, cover up your ass. Okay, so with eye makeup, you want to be using concealers, okay? A great one is one from Benefit Cosmetics, as well as Smashbox Cosmetics has launched a 24-hour concealer. They both come on a sort of a wand application, so you want to be applying concealer very close to your eye and double up on everything. So if you're doing a liquid eyeliner, do your liquid eyeliner and blot powder over it, so that it basically locks it in onto your skin. Also things like an eye primer base that you can put on, so specifically for the eye area, a primer. And then lip color, I've obviously covered rather matte to more sheer colors. And then also mist yourself this summer. So really beautiful mists, carry them around. I've mentioned this Matchbox primer water. If you want to do a homemade one, just pure rose water in a spritzer bottle and just spritz it over your face for a nice refreshing glow. And of course, it also doesn't move the makeup. And then also, I'm struggling with SPFs at the moment because, I mean, obviously we need to use an SPF. We need some protection. And it's really simple. Just get an oil-free SPF. It's as simple as that. Also, you want to avoid sun creams with titanium dioxide and zinc ingredients because they sort of are quite thick on the skin. Your skin's also going to produce more sebum. A great one that I've discovered, it's from Color Science. It's an SPF 50, and it's actually a mineral powder that you dust on before you do your foundation and after. And you can actually carry it around in your handbag and, you know, throughout the day, dust it on your hands, dust it on your face if you're going to be in the sun. So it's quite cool. It's a powder, SPF 50, full coverage, and off you go. So those are my tips for this terribly hot heat. I will be posting all the products and everything I use on social media. You can catch me on all social media platforms at Moragstain. That's MORAGSTEYN. Thank you.
Just one quick question. Yes. Thank you, Morag. Does everyone in here know what sebum is?
I don't know.
Okay, so thank you. Okay. The question of the day from our keen listeners, we're like, sebum. Okay. What is sebum?
So basically, in your skin, you have your sebaceous glands, which are your oil secreting glands. And when, so basically, when we're adding on products that are saying anti-shine, anti-oil, they contain salicylic acid in. So what salicylic acid does, when it's absorbed into your skin, it actually dries up your sebaceous gland. But what happens then, your body is saying, my sebaceous gland is dry, let me produce more sebum. And that's basically this oily look that you're getting on your face. So instead of sort of taking the oil away, you want to be putting more oil on so that your sebaceous gland doesn't secrete so much sebum. That's basically the whole.
I hope that the sebaceous glands of all of our listeners are actually in control, because I'm going to have to go after this and take care of my sebaceous glands. Anyway, thank you so much for the glamour. You know what's crazy is when you ask a question and then the question comes with more acids and sebaceous glands, and we're like, okay, let's just stop it there. And then Morag is going to be available on her handle on Twitter to answer all the extra sebaceous / sebum related questions. But anyway, we want to really thank you for the glam up session. Edgy, we want to thank you for your contribution as well with your echoes. And I just love the fact, and we appreciate the fact, that we can always tap into your mind and get feedback from that side. And sometimes we go wild, but we love it because it's everything like the truth from the inside out. And we really want to express ourselves. We really want to share these conversations, because these are the conversations no one's trying to have. And we are having them because we have to have. Someone's got to talk about this stuff. And then obviously for our very special guest, Arapeleng, we want to thank you as well for joining us on the show. It's really good to have these conversations. And like I said, people just kind of get to understand you a bit better. And we have time to talk about some of the things that are actually working, or ways that are working for your brand. And obviously, I wish you all the best with everything.
Thank you.
And I look forward to wearing one of your pieces as well. Now, we are going straight to who would you want to dress and why? That's my hint. Who would you want to dress and why? We are here on our lovely last segment. And we are going to start with, I'm not starting with Edgy, Morag, because Morag's a good starter.
So, as you know, I've been working on production for the past 3 days, and I met one of the models, and she is just... I think I have a girl crush on her, like literally. She is so beautiful, her body, everything, like not in a weird way. But I actually said to her that I'd love to do a shoot and do her makeup, you know, as I would want to do it. So, yeah, I would love to dress her. And her, I mean, I actually forgot what her surname is, but her name on Instagram is Brit D. So I would love to dress her. I'm actually showing Liz a picture of her.
Wow.
Yeah, she's really
beautiful.
Pretty.
Wow.
So beauty, yeah, that's who I would love to dress for a photo shoot, obviously.
In
yeah.
its best.
Maybe we can collaborate.
Yeah, well, also here with me. Anyway, back to you, Arap Leng. Who would you want to dress and why?
I think I've already dressed who I wanted to dress.
We want someone
I'm
new.
Kidding.
We
want. I'm kidding. So I would love to dress Kendall Jenner. So I think she's absolutely beautiful. She resonates. She is classy and she's feminine. And yeah, I think that's the person that I
and
want
like
to dress.
The most natural looking out of the bunch.
Yeah. Which bunch? I don't know about the bunch.
The K bunch. Okay, let's let him slide on that. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why?
I'm gonna be really selfish today. Because I wanna dress me, but I wanna ask you guys a question. I wanna get this raccoon lined coat. And I'm thinking, is that unethical?
I think it's not unethical because you didn't kill the raccoon, so it's fine.
I think it is.
Like,
I'm against it, AG.
You didn't kill it and you have a good intentions, and we know that you're a very ethical person. So I think just find out maybe how they killed it, and then if they killed it in a way that maybe, I don't know if it escaped, I don't know this whole raccoon thing. You know, actually, let someone else answer that question.
You know what it is? The whole thing why fur is such a big deal is because the cruelty that goes around of how it's done. So, you know what? I have a rabbit fur coat, I'm going to be honest with you, but like where the rabbits came from, they're actually bred for this. And like cows are bred to eat, cows are bred to make milk. So, you know what? If it's done in an ethical way, I think, you know, you just need to know where it comes from. Then I think, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pretend it is done ethically.
Yes. Ethically. And they had a farm where they were using it strictly. They were just growing them, breeding them for like fur coats. So just go ahead and knock yourself out. It's cold out there. And then keep a right mindset and you'll be cool. Now, today, I want to dress. I want to dress a Nigerian business tycoon who's the richest African woman. Actually, I think they said second, too. Mm. They say Forbes estimates her net worth to be 2.1 billion, which makes her the richest woman in Nigeria and then the second richest in Africa. And remember, I already wanted to dress the richest one, which is the Isabella Dos Santos. Yeah. Anyway, follow Runsho Alakija. That's who I want to dress. And I'm sure that if I dress her based on today's conversation and exclusive, I am sure that all the parliamentarians and everyone will be running from Nigeria coming to me saying, chopping money. Anyway, I think that's so cool. I think for me, it's like, again, and let me say, I'm saying this very honestly. I'm not like the person who only dresses corporate women. Like I can dress any woman who is a style savvy woman who cares about, you know, I dress women who are women, so womanly women. Okay, so whether she is the one who's the richest Nigerian woman or what, but obviously this is also strategic, hopefully, because we won't be talking about how much. She'll basically be saying, I need a rack. Anyway, guys, it's been great. For those who are tuned in, it's been a bit of a rowdy show today, but we were just having fun, you know, because we just want to have fun. This is Fashion Lab Africa. We're on www.fashionlabafrica.com. Holler at us and let us know some of your thoughts. We're on Twitter at Fashion Lab AF. Peace and love. But one last important thing is think about who you're dressing and why. And this is not the joke show, the last segment we have. This is seriously on a business tip. Think about why you've been dressing Alice for 2 years and you still don't have any. Anyway, peace and love.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.